God, we know that you inhabit our praises, the praises of your people. What a privilege it is to worship you, God. We ask that you touch us, God, each and every one of us. You know us one by one, name by name. And God, we ask that you touch and work miracles in us, God, that we might share your word and your love to others. Bless the word this morning. Bless the deliverer of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Let everybody say amen.
Amen. Let's give God a hand praise this morning. I'm excited this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm just excited about Jesus. Amen. You ever just get excited about Jesus? Amen. Amen. I'm also excited because we are starting a new series this Sunday. The title of our series is Stay Tuned. Stay Tuned. Throughout this series, the titles of each of our messages will be from popular TV shows and movies. Amen. I'm excited about that. The term Stay Tuned originated from the old days of radio, before there was TV. Some of you remember that. I don't recall. But the announcer was asking that the audience to keep the radio tuned to the station. It was also used to mean to keep in contact or for some forthcoming changes of events or a special announcement. It meant to continue watching or listening to the same television channel or radio station so you won't miss the rest of the story. It also meant don't go anywhere. Stay tuned. Stay there and wait for the rest of the story. Now, today, I want to talk to you about a guy in the Bible named Joseph. Joseph had no supernatural strength. He had no halo around his head. He actually never performed a miracle. However, he was a man of divine purpose, and God used Joseph greatly. Now, you will find in the book of Genesis a man named Abraham. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Now, Isaac had two sons. They were twins, one named Jacob and the other Esau. Jacob, who became known as Israel, had 12 sons. Therefore, they were known as the 12 sons of Jacob, or the 12 tribes of Israel. The last son born to Jacob was named Joseph. Now, that was a quick history of the lineage of our lesson today. The Joseph story is quite a lengthy story, so I'm just going to summarize the narrative today. I don't have time to go into the whole story. Now, Joseph didn't know the reason God had chosen him and set him on the divine path of his life. He didn't realize his purpose until the very end. Yet he never seemed to waver. He knew that God was in control. Joseph stayed tuned and kept his eyes on God. Now, Joseph's father met his mother, Rachel, while she was getting water at the well. He showed up at the well, and Rachel was there looking beautiful. And he was immediately attracted to her. Some of you gentlemen remember that when you first saw your wives, and you might have been at school, you might have been at church. But when you first laid eyes on her, something inside of you lit up and you knew that she was the one. Now, some of you may not have known it, but God knew she was the one. So Jacob fell deeply in love with Rachel. Now, as the story goes on, Jacob offered to work 7 years in exchange for Rachel's hand in marriage. But for some reason, Rachel's father tricked him after the 7 years, and he ended up marrying her older sister. But he was so much in love that the story goes on to say that he worked another 7 years in order to marry Rachel. So he worked a total of 14 years to marry the woman that he loved. Gentlemen, we work in order to love the woman we marry. Hey, man, we work to show her that we love her. We buy her things. We are sweet and nice because we are working on our marriage. Amen. Now, Joseph was the second youngest of 12 brothers born to Jacob. Jacob loved Joseph more than his other sons because he had been the son born of his old age. Not only that, he was the son of his true love, Rachel. When his brother saw that their father loved him more than any of them, hatred set in their hearts for their baby brother. One night, Joseph even had a dream that indicated that his brothers would someday bow to him. And he shared that dream with his brothers, and they even began to hate him even more. They began to resent him and not care for him. Do you not realize that when God puts something in your heart, when God gives you a purpose, or when God gives you a position, everybody is not going to agree with where God has placed you? There's going to be some haters out there, but keep holding on to what God has told you to do. One day, Joseph traveled to check on his brothers while they were watching the sheep. And his brothers plotted against him and threw him into a pit, into a well to die. They put him in the well with the intentions of him dying. But his brother Judah spoke up and saved him and saved his life. And in my studies, I found out that Judah means praise. And isn't it significant, and isn't it special to realize that when he was about to die, praise saved his life? So instead of killing him, they sold him to some traveling merchants. They sold him into slavery. And then they returned home and they made up a story to his father and told his father that he had been killed by wild animals. Joseph was taken to Egypt and sold to the captain of the guard of Pharaoh. His name was Potiphar. And he became the household slave. He was the servant of Potiphar and his wife. And the Bible says, the story goes on to tell that he made favor with Potiphar. As a matter of fact, he worked so hard and he done his job so well that Potiphar put him in charge of his whole household. Favor is not fair. I stop by to tell you that when you are on God's side and when you do what God has told you to do, he would allow favor to be all around you. And sometimes favor just is not fair, but it is of God because he takes care of his people. However, while he's working in Potiphar's house, he was accused of on-the-job sexual harassment. Potiphar's wife accused him, and he was thrown into prison. Now, God permitted Joseph to be treated unjustly and put in prison to help build his character and prepare him for the task that laid ahead. The prison would be a school where Joseph would learn to wait on the Lord. He would learn that God's delays are not God's denials. I believe I ought to say that again. God's delays, people, is not his denials. What are you waiting on, church? What are you waiting on for God to do? We find that Joseph is waiting because there is nothing else that he can do. He can't get out of prison. He can't appeal his sentence. He certainly can't escape. He's stuck in an Egyptian prison, far from home. And as a matter of fact, his father thinks that he's dead. And I stop by to tell you, in your waiting, sometimes you're in a difficult situation. You are in prison with no way to escape. Life seems like it has you all locked up. And you look to the right, you look to the left, and there is nothing for you to do except to wait. Waiting is perhaps the hardest discipline of Christian life. Most of us hate to wait. I know I do. I hate to wait. I would drive for a half hour just to keep from standing in line behind two cars at a drive-thru. Probably all of us are waiting for something at this very moment. Waiting on the Lord requires patience and trust. Lamentations 3:25 says, "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him." Waiting means that we give God the benefit of the doubt that he knows what he's doing. Waiting is God's way of seeing if we trust him before we move forward. And while you're waiting, I say to you, stay tuned. Waiting on God reminds us that God is in control. Waiting reminds me that I am not in charge. Waiting reminds me that I am not God. Waiting on the Lord allows God to do his work in us. God's timing is best. It's not our timing. If we don't wait, we are premature in what God has done or what God plans to do. When we take it upon ourselves to move, we are premature. I use the analogy of pregnant. Now, I've never been pregnant, obviously, but I was told that I want to use this analogy that each one of you are pregnant with purpose. And you're in the trimester of your soon delivery, but you don't want to prematurely deliver your purpose. Wait on God. Do your full time, your full 9 months, 5 months, whatever it might be, and let your purpose deliver itself naturally, and God will help you. God is working on your behalf. Waiting on God is necessary to increase your faith. In my studies, I came across this about birds. Birds have three methods of flight. First is flopping. Flopping is keeping their wings in a constant motion, just like a hummingbird, to counteract gravity. Flapping keeps them in the air, but it is a lot of work. Second is gliding. Here the bird builds up enough strength. Then he coasts downward for a while. It is much more graceful than flapping. But unfortunately, it does not get the bird very far. Reality is, with gliding, eventually gravity sets in, and quickly the bird has to reposition himself in order to keep in flight. And then there is the third thing. It is called soaring. Only a few birds, such as eagles, are capable of soaring in the sky. Eagles' wings are so strong that they are capable of catching rising currents from warm air, terminal winds that go straight up from the earth. And without moving a feather, An eagle can soar up to great heights. Eagles have been clocked up to 80 miles per hour without flopping or flapping their wings. They just soar on invisible columns of air. And when I read that, I thought about Isaiah 40 and 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Oh, we ought to try to get eagle wings. How do we get eagle wings? How do we soar? We soar by waiting on the Lord. We soar by staying tuned. No one likes to wait, but we wait in traffic. We wait in carpool lines. We wait in holding patterns. We wait in grocery stores. We wait for the people ahead of us. We wait in the doctor's office. We wait for our spouses to get ready in the morning. We wait for babies to come. We wait for the slow driver in front of us. Isn't it weird that whenever you're in a hurry to get somewhere, it seems like the slowest driver in the world gets in front of you. It's like he's in a let the snail beat me please contest. We wait for retirement. Some of us wait for this sermon to end. But we wait. We wait for Jesus' return. Waiting is not just something we have to do while we get what we want. Waiting is a process of becoming what God wants us to be. What God does in us while we wait is more important than what we're waiting for. Proverbs 3:5-6 promises that if we will trust in the Lord, He will make our way straight. In order for our path to be made clear, we must stay tuned to God's guidance. I want to share with you 7 fundamental facts about God's guidance. Number one, He can put you exactly where He wants you to be. Number two, He can arrange all of the details years in advance. He already knows today where you're going to be tomorrow. Number three, He can open doors that seem shut tight. He can move any obstacle. Number four, He can move any obstacle in your way. He can take your choices and fit them into the plan that you end up at the right place at just the right time. He can even take your mistakes and bring good out of them. Number seven, He can take tragedy and use it for your good and for His glory. That is what Proverbs 19:16 means when it says, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. And we ought to say, Lord, order my steps. Lord, show me where you want me to walk. Show me what you want me to do. Let me get back to my story. Now, while in prison, Joseph actually gets put in charge of the prison. Here is favor again. And he actually interprets the dreams of 2 of Pharaoh's servants who were also incarcerated with him. Pharaoh once after had a disturbing dream that no one could interpret. One of the servants talked about Joseph and how he had previously interpreted his dreams. The story goes on to say that Joseph was summoned from the prison and interpreted Pharaoh's dreams in such a powerful way that he was appointed second in command of Egypt. Oh, staying tuned to God, church, can get you from the pit to the palace. It can get you from prisoner to prince. Staying tuned with God can get you from that being an outcast to a member of the royal family. Staying tuned can get you justified through faith. Stand tuned can get you from fear to courage. Stand tuned can get you from a weak and mild and unspoken person to a bold person that has no problem with sharing the gospel of Jesus. Stay tuned to what God has for you. Jesus told us to take courage and fear not. Romans 5, 1 through 5 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom he has gained access by faith unto this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering. Listen, we glory in our suffering because we know that suffering produces perseverance. There you go. What she said. Perseverance. Everybody say perseverance. Character and character hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured unto our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given unto us. Jesus' church never said that we would escape pain or illness or despair in this world. You'll have trouble. Count on it. You will have trouble. You were meant, however, for another world. And I want to say to you, as the world turns, you would get young and restless sometimes, but keep searching for tomorrow because this is the days of our life. Remember, he is the guiding light and we are all his children. Even if you end up in the general hospital, stay tuned for his will and grace. Let God use you where you are. Let him use you in hard times as well as good times. 2 Corinthians 4 and 17 says, for our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, is working for us for more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Psalms 33 and 20 says, we wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help in our shield. Now I want to know, does there seem to be a problem waiting for you no matter what way you turn? Do you sometimes wonder if your dreams are even going to come to pass? Maybe you've asked God, why would you allow the struggles in my job or in my relationships, my health, my life? Sometimes God allows us to go through challenges because he knows it's the struggle of life that builds our strength. If God simply gave us everything, then we would have no way to grow and to become strong. Now, I looked at people that want to become naturally strong. They go to the gym and they lift weights. But I stop by to tell you that as a spiritual person, as a person of God, if you want to be spiritually strong, we don't lift weights. We put down weights. But the Bible says, lay aside every weight that so easily distracts you. We put down weights. Jesus, the one who has promised never to leave us or forsake us, is there for us. He is our cheerleader. You'll find in the word of God, he's cheering us on. He's saying, don't stop now. Keep going. Don't quit. Hang in there. Remain faithful and you will come to know victory and joy and how it feels to be welcomed into heaven. In closing, I want to tell one story. Story about three men that were climbing a mountain on a rope. two of the men made it to the top of the mountain on the rope. And as the third man began to climb, the rope began to fray. And the rope got down to three threads, then two threads. And the man is trying to climb up the mountain at a very high mountain. And the men standing on the top of the mountain see the condition of the rope. And they yell to the man, reach above the broken thread. And I want you to know today that when you're going through, when you're trying to get over the mountain, sometimes it will require you to reach above what you're going through. Reach above the broken thread. Let your eyes set to the hills for which cometh your help. Your help comes from the Lord. Stay tuned. Stay tuned. Let us pray. Dear Father, we thank you today because you are God that cares. You are God that surrounds us with your love. And we want to stay tuned to that love. We want to stay tuned to your grace. We want to stay tuned to your word. And we want to stay tuned to the fellowship that we enjoy when we come around the other saints. Help us to understand that we are sharpened and we are encouraged by fellowship with our fellow brothers and sisters. Bless us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Don. Wow. Wow. Powerful message. Thank you.